Hey everybody, welcome back. Today we're going deep on some fascinating stuff. You sent this in, right, about the book of Isaiah?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so specifically, this whole idea of like fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be surprised by what we find here.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so before we get into the like, you know, the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the context? Like, this is ancient Judah.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking like, what, centuries BCE?
Yeah. So we're talking like 8th to 6th centuries BCE.
Okay.
The kingdom of Judah.
Okay.
And it was a really interesting time, right? You had prophets like Isaiah who were kind of challenging the status quo and speaking truth to power, right? Calling out the kings and the people to really kind of get their act together and realign themselves with God. It was a time of a lot of social and political turmoil. So
okay, so it's a little chaotic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they're getting it from all sides.
A lot of upheaval.
Okay, and then Isaiah steps onto the scene. And his book, it's not just a book, right? Like it's kind of three books in one.
Yeah, so scholars have actually divided the book of Isaiah into three sections. It's not just random, you know, it actually reflects like these distinct historical periods that we're talking about.
Okay.
So first, Isaiah, you know, really delivers this fiery message of judgment.
Right.
Calls for repentance, you know.
Well, I see.
Second, Isaiah comes along during the Babylonian exile, and that's a totally different message, right?
Right.
Offering words of comfort and hope.
Okay. So like it's matching the vibe of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And then third, Isaiah kind of guides the community as they return from exile and talks a lot about like ethical living and future hope. So it's a really dynamic book that kind of captures all of these different moments in Judah's history.
So we could spend like three episodes on this.
We could.
We're going to focus on the fear of the Lord stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is super interesting. But
it's a big one.
Yeah. That's, like, more than just being afraid.
Yeah.
Right? Like, like I feel when people hear fear of the Lord, they're like, oh, God's going to smite me.
Yeah. No, it's not about cowering in terror.
Okay, good. Because
when Isaiah talks about the fear of the Lord,
yeah,
it's much more nuanced, right? It's about awe. It's about this deep reverence for God's power and holiness.
Huh.
It's kind of like acknowledging that there's this force out there so much greater than ourselves.
Hmm.
Recognizing this absolute authority and purity of the divine.
So kind of like if you were standing, you know, on a mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
And like looking out at this vast landscape and suddenly feeling very, very small.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Okay, I can kind of get that, yeah.
And Isaiah himself had this experience in a very profound way. In chapter 6, he describes this vision of God surrounded by these heavenly beings that are like declaring, you know, holy, holy, holy.
Yeah, I've heard that part before.
Yeah, and it's a really powerful scene. And you can imagine how that kind of encounter would have been both like exhilarating and terrifying.
Yeah, like you said, awe-inspiring.
Yeah, and it really had this profound effect on Isaiah. Like it made him very aware of his own shortcomings and ignited this sense of responsibility to speak God's truth no matter what, no matter how hard it was.
Hmm. So it kind of empowered him in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of like responsibility and stuff, we were saying before how fear of the Lord is also tied into God as a judge.
Yeah.
So is this where we get that whole thing, like, you know, if you don't fear God, then you're going to get punished?
Well, it's definitely a key aspect of it. In Isaiah, the fear of the Lord is very much tied to justice and righteousness.
Okay.
It's not just about, like, arbitrary punishment. It's about recognizing that there's a moral order to the universe and that our actions have consequences.
Okay.
And there's this really interesting passage in Isaiah 33.6.
Yeah, what's that say?
It says, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure.
Okay, so what's the treasure?
Well, the word salvation is used a lot in Isaiah.
Right.
And it meant more than just the afterlife, right? It was about being rescued from danger.
Okay.
Experiencing peace and prosperity, living in right relationship with God.
Yeah.
So the verse is suggesting that true wisdom and ultimately experiencing that wholeness comes from recognizing and honoring God's power and authority.
Hmm. So it's not about being afraid of punishment as much as understanding that, like, you know, if you live in accordance with this higher moral order, that that's actually what leads to a better life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
It's about alignment.
Yeah. Yeah. Aligning yourself with like the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Okay. And that makes me think about leadership. You know, we were talking about kings before.
Yeah.
Does Isaiah say anything about how like leaders are supposed to embody this fear of the Lord?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And actually it leads into one of the most hopeful parts of the whole book, which is the prophecies about the coming Messiah.
Oh, yeah, the Messiah.
Bleh.
Like the one who's going to come and like set everything right, you know, make everything good.
Yeah, embody God's will, usher in this new era.
Okay, so what are like the qualities? What does Isaiah say about what the Messiah is going to be like?
Yeah, so Isaiah 11:2-3 describes the Spirit of the Lord resting on the Messiah. And one of the key aspects of that Spirit is, yep, you guessed it, the fear of the Lord.
Oh, wow. So even the Messiah is going to have that.
It's pretty interesting, right? Even this ideal leader, this person who's destined to bring justice and righteousness, is still guided by that same sense of awe and reverence.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, I'm the chosen one. I can do whatever I want.
No.
They're still in alignment with God's will.
Absolutely.
Hmm. That's powerful. So they're not just like a powerful ruler. They're someone who like respects a power greater than themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that resonates even today. You know, like when we look for leaders, we often look for people who are grounded, who have this sense of humility or a commitment to something beyond their own ambitions.
Right. Like we don't want a megalomaniac.
Exactly.
We want someone who's going to be like, you know, leading with a pure heart. Okay, that's really interesting. So it's like this ancient text is still giving us insights into the qualities of leadership. And that makes me think about those passages you mentioned earlier about, you know, the fear of the Lord being both a warning and an invitation.
Yeah, yeah. There is this constant tension throughout Isaiah, though, right? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you have these warnings of judgment for those who reject God or disregard God, mm-hmm. like in Isaiah 5:25, where God talks about his anger burning against his people.
Yeah.
But then you have these beautiful passages like Isaiah 55:6-7
right.
that offer this incredible invitation to turn back to God, to seek mercy and forgiveness.
Okay, so it's almost like a, you know, like a tough love kind of thing.
It is, yeah.
Like, hey, I'm here for you, but you also got to get your act together.
Yeah, it's about recognizing that we all stray.
Right.
But there's always a path back. To alignment with what's good and right.
Okay, so ultimately it's a message of hope, though.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, recognizing that there's something greater than yourself, and even if you screw up, you can still get back on track.
Exactly. And I think that's a powerful takeaway for all of us today, regardless of what our individual beliefs are.
Mm.
You know, that core idea of recognizing a power greater than ourselves.
Yeah.
It transcends any kind of specific religious interpretation, right?
Right.
It could be a divine being. It could be forces of nature.
Yeah.
It could even be the collective wisdom of humanity.
Right. Or even like just your own conscience, like the best part of yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
So acknowledging something larger than ourselves can foster humility, guide us toward more ethical choices, and ultimately help us to understand our place in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. You're just a small part of something much bigger.
Exactly. Which leads me to the question I want to leave you with today.
Oh, okay. Hit me.
What does that power greater than ourselves represent in your life?
Wow, that's a good one.
Really think about it. Is it a spiritual being? Is it a force of nature? Is it the potential for good within each of us?
Yeah, like I said.
I encourage you to reflect on that and see where it leads you.
Yeah, everyone listening out there, really take some time to ponder that one, see what you come up with. And that is our deep dive for today. Thanks for listening.